Devate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ye Viksitendriya Diyo Devas Te Swahadi Stitam Na Vindanti Priyam Sashvat Atmanam Kim Utapare Yeviksitendriya Diyo Devaste Swahadistitam Navindanti Payang Shashvad Atmanam Kim Utapare Yevik Siptendriya Diyo Devaste Swahadistitam Navindanti Payang Shashvad Atmanam Kim Utapare Yeviksiptendriya Diyo Devaste Swahadishitam Navindanti Payang Shashvad Atmanam Kim Utapare Matthew's. Matthew's. Yea, which personalities? Viksipta Indriya Diya, whose senses, mind, and intelligence are always agitated because of material conditions. And Deva, like the demigods, te, such persons, swapadi, in the core of the heart, stitam, situated, na, not, vindanti, no, priyam, the dearmost personality of Godhead, saspat, constantly, eternally, atmanam, the supreme personality of Godhead, kim uta, what to speak of, apare, others like human beings. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Even though the demigods have the advantage of being situated in the higher planetary system, their minds, senses, and intelligence are agitated by material conditions. Therefore, even such elevated persons fail to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally situated in the core of the heart. What then is said to be of others, such as human beings, who have fewer advantages? Purport. It is a fact that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always situated in everyone's heart, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridayasajanatisthiti. But because of our material anxieties, which are inevitable in this material world, we cannot understand the Supreme Lord, although He is situated so near to us. For those always agitated by material conditions, the yogic process is recommended so that one may concentrate his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the heart. Dhyana vastita tad gatena manasa pasyanta yang yogina. Because in material conditions, the mind and senses are always agitated by the yogic procedures like dharana, asana, dhyana, one must quiet the mind and concentrate it upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the yogic process is a material attempt to realize the Lord, whereas bhakti, devotional service, is the spiritual process by which to realize Him. Maharaj Kadvanga accepted the spiritual path, and therefore he was no longer interested in anything material. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 18:55, bhaktya mama vijanati, only by devotional service can I be understood. One can understand Krishna, the Parabrahman, the Supreme Personality, got it only through devotional service. The Lord never says that one can understand Him by performing mystic yoga or by philosophically speculating. Bhakti is above all such material attempts. Anyabhilasita sunyam jnana karma dinabhartam. Bhakti is uncontaminated, being unalloyed even by jnana or pious activities. Om jnana tamanandasya jnananjana salakaya chakshrim militam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha mukham krotu vachalang pangun lang hayate grim yat kripa taraham vande sri gurum dinatharanam vanchikavatyubhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This verse is explaining that even though one may be in a very elevated situation, if one doesn't take seriously Krishna consciousness, still one will be agitated by the mind, by the senses, so many ways. So the goal is to take shelter of Krishna, engage in devotional service, and not be controlled by the mind, by the senses. Krishna says, dhyayato visyang pumsa sangastasi vichayate. While contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment for them. From such attachment, lust develops. From lust, anger or agitation. From anger, bewilderment of memory. When the memory is bewildered, the intelligence is lost. And when the intelligence is lost, one falls down again in the material world. So it begins with this contemplating. I was just listening to one class, and the devotee was saying that the mind, it can make us give up something so wonderful and accept something dreadful. It's like Krishna consciousness is such a nice thing, but so many people have given it up to live a dreadful life. He gave an example, just like there may be some very nice preparation that you like a lot, and then there's another preparation that wasn't cooked properly, and it's not, doesn't taste good at all. Doesn't smell good, doesn't taste good. It was a blooper. But then some devotee comes and just like forces you to eat it. Just forces you to eat it, just stuffs it in your mouth, you know. He wouldn't be much of a friend, would he? Actually, Prabhupada was saying how in India, one of the ways that the Muslims would make Hindus is they would stuff meat, cow's meat, in their mouth. And from then, they would be considered Muslim. They wouldn't be a Hindu anymore. Or sometimes they would, actually in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's mentioned that sometimes they would sprinkle water. Muslim would just sprinkle water on the head of a Hindu, and he would become a Muslim. This happened to one devotee, and he was asking different devotees, "What should I do? What should I do to counteract this?" And one said, "Well, you could was it drink boiling lead or ghee? Wasn't there one also lead or something?" That'd be pretty crucial. Yeah. So then he went to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya said, "Just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." Much easier, much more pleasant way to counteract that. So, but the mind comes up with so many ideas. You know, Maya's working, through the mind. So we have to check the mind by this process of devotional service. And because we've been conditioned for so long, it's very difficult to take up devotional service. So therefore, the most important service that we can do is to hear. And hopefully after hearing hundreds and thousands of times, maybe after hearing a million times, it'll finally sink in and we'll just want to serve Krishna. So we have to keep on hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing again and again to break down, to beat down this false ego, to beat down this maya, this mind, so that we can again serve Krishna. Now here it's mentioned that this Maharaj Kadvanga. No. Was it? Kadvanga. Okay. Yeah, he's mentioned in here. He was a great devotee, very powerful king also. And he was so powerful that the demigods, they were fighting and they got word that he was a very powerful king. So they asked him to come and help. And he was helping to such a degree, they won the battle. And then they asked him, "You could have whatever you want, take a benediction, whatever you want." And he was a great devotee also, so he said, "How much time do I have to live?" And they said, "Well, just a moment." So then he immediately surrendered to Krishna. And there's this, Mukunda Mala Stotra by him. It's very famous. And the most famous verse there is, Krishna Tvadiya Parapankaja Pancharatram Adhyaiva Meva Satumana Saraja Hamsa Prana Prayana Samaye Gata Pita Kanta Varodana Vathaus Maranam Kutaste. He prays to Krishna, "Please, Krishna, I pray that the swan of my mind may immediately enter into the stem of your lotus feet and get locked up within the network. Otherwise, if I wait till the end of my life, when my throat is all choked up and my memory is weak, how is it going to be possible for me to chant your names and hear your glories?" When Prabhupada was leaving this world, he was repeating this verse again and again. You know, of course, he wasn't young, but this, and he's so Krishna conscious, but he was meditating on this verse. So it's so important that we take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, and this way we get purified. Now here also in the translation it's stated priyam. What does priyam mean? Who knows what priyam means? Dear, yes. So Krishna is very dear to the devotees. Why is Krishna so dear to the devotees? Because he's so wonderful. Krishna is so wonderful. He's so amazing. Just like in the pastimes of Krishna, there was one instance where Krishna, when he left Vrindavan and was in Mathura, he came across one lady, Kubja. And she was grinding sandalwood. She was making sandalwood for Kamsa. And Krishna said to her, "You know, we see this sandalwood. It would be good service for you to give this to us, to me and Balaram." And she was she could understand that Krishna's not an ordinary person. And she said, "Yes, you deserve it more than anybody else." So she rubbed this sandalwood paste on Krishna and Balaram. And she was hunchbacked and not very attractive. So Krishna, being the wonderful personality that he is, he put his feet on her feet and he took her cheeks and went and straightened her right up. And she became very beautiful, extremely beautiful. And then she became attracted to Krishna. Then they became a little embarrassed because, you know, all the cowherd boys, and there's this lady, she's, you know, picking up on Krishna. So he felt a little embarrassed. So wonderful. He's the original chiropractor. Perfect job. No more problems after that. Generally, when you go to a chiropractor, you have to go again, and you have to go again, and you have to go again and again. I know, I was having trouble with my... trouble with my back again and again, and even then they don't fix it. But Krishna, one time, boop, finished. And Krishna, he's ascribed Vrindavana Natabara. Who knows what that means besides Archita? He's the best dancer in Vrindavan. And this is why Krishna has a peacock feather on his head. One time Krishna, he got up early and he started playing his flute to bring the cowherd boys. But when he started playing the flute, not only did the cowherd boys gradually come, but the peacocks came as well. Lots of peacocks came. Krishna's playing the flute and the peacocks, they started dancing. Anybody here ever see a peacock dance? Archita has seen. I've seen also. You've seen also. They're amazing dancers. So Krishna is playing the flute and the peacocks are dancing, and Krishna got inspired, so he started dancing as well. And the flute got so inspired by Krishna's dancing, he left Krishna's hand. He's playing the flute by himself. He's just there playing the flute by himself, and Krishna's dancing. He's inspired by the flute. So as Krishna's dancing so remarkably that all the peacocks, they stop dancing, they're just watching Krishna dance. And then after Krishna stopped dancing, the leader of the peacocks, he came and he brought Krishna a peacock feather. He said, "You are the master of dancers, so you have to always have this peacock feather on your head." And from that time on, Krishna always had a peacock feather on his head. That was his award for being such a good dancer. So, Krishna also, he lifted Govardhan Hill. This is amazing. How old was Krishna when he lifted Govardhan Hill? 7 years old. Very young for lifting a hill. Even an old person couldn't. So impressive. For 7 days he lifted just the pinky of the weakest part of the whole body, the pinky. And when he lifted it like a mushroom. Just like it was nothing. So after this incident of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, protecting the devotees, the devotees in Vrindavan, they went to Nandamar and said, "Who is this child?" And therefore the chapter after this lifting of Govardhan Hill, the chapter is called Wonderful Krishna. And they went on and on about all the wonderful things Krishna did, killing Putana and the Trinavarta demon, and so many amazing things Krishna did. And this is why Krishna is the most wonderful, is the greatest personality. So the more we take shelter of Krishna, the more we'll understand the glories of Krishna. Here, therefore, this is also mentioned in here, that it's difficult to understand or to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I was just listening to a lecture. Prabhupada said there was one so-called scholar. He said, Krishna, he was an aborigine. He was a black aborigine, and he became very popular, and therefore he became famous as, some great personality. And Prabhupada was amazed that here's a so-called scholar, this maya pratigyanam, this knowledge is stolen by illusion, could say such a foolish thing. There's so much speculation about Krishna. Even Gandhi, he said the Pandavas were the five senses, the battle of Kurukshetra was the body. There's this total speculation. So much speculation about Krishna. So we're extremely fortunate that we got the teachings of Krishna, the understanding of Krishna, from a pure devotee who had realization of Krishna. And we also can get realization of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, he was saying how we've all heard how it's difficult. We've all heard this, that it's difficult to become a pure devotee. But we've also heard that it's easy. Isn't it? We've heard it's easy, and we've heard it's difficult. So which is it? Both. But if we have determination, Prabhupada said, if we have determination and we have sincerity, then it's possible. It's very easy. It's easy for those who are not complex, complicated. And those who are complicated, complex, and it makes it difficult. So what is the process? Just chant Hare Krishna and hear from the Vedic literatures. And simply by this hearing, by this chanting, by this serving, the Vaishnavas will get purified. And we're not only interested in our own purification. We want others to also get purified. They don't know how to get purified. So we're giving them so much guidance in the form of Srila Prabhupada's books. And these temples, people could come and they could hear about Krishna. I heard it recently when I was in Denver, I heard of an amazing way one devotee came to Krishna consciousness. He was driving up and down the street, 14th Street, which the temple is on there, looking for a record store. And on our sign, it's right there. 14th Street is a very busy street. And on our sign there at the temple, it says, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we saw that word consciousness. And I'm kind of interested in higher consciousness. Let me check this out. So one of us drives back. He thought, let me check this out. He pulled over and he was talking to some devotees, Tusha Krishna and some other devotees, and he was very impressed with the quality of the devotees. And he started coming back, you know, come back on Sunday, and after a couple months he joined the movement. Now he's a fired up book distributor, brahmachari there in Denver. Yeah. So just by seeing that word consciousness, he became inspired to take up devotional service. So, so many ways people come, and so many ways that we can convince people to take Prabhupada's books. I'll tell you an amazing story. You're going to be shocked by this. Ratnabhushan was distributing books one time at a rest area. And when he approached one person to give him Bhagavad Gita, he said, "No, no, I'm an atheist." He said, "You're an atheist? You think all this is by chance?" He said, "Yeah, it's by chance." He said, "You see that Mercedes-Benz sitting over there? 2 hours ago was a big pile of steel and different parts of the motor, and there was wheels standing alongside, and there's just a big pile of mess. And some guy, he came over, he put a stick of dynamite under the whole pile, blew it up, it went flying, and turned into this beautiful Mercedes-Benz here. Isn't that amazing?" He said, "Oh, come on," the guy said, "Oh, come on, it's ridiculous." And he walked up. And Ratna said, "Well, you're saying that this is not possible. Well, look at this universe. So much order in this universe. Much more complex than this little Mercedes-Benz. So why are you saying all this is just by chance? You know, big bang. Come on, that's ridiculous." And the guy just walked off. "Ah, humbug, I don't believe it." Came back a half hour. "How much do you want for that book?" "Well, that's good preaching, huh?" We should get him back on book distribution. Of course, I don't know how the Rathiyatras would go. Huh? We'll just have him for Rathiyatras now. What do you think, Suhas? He's smart. Ratnabhushan is a very smart devotee, actually. So there's so many ways that we can convince people to take this mercy. And Prabhupada said we should utilize our intelligence in how to convince people to take this knowledge. Krishna is known as Dhyampati. Means he's the Lord of intelligence. If we just pray for intelligence and how to convince people to take these books and how to continue on in distributing these books as well. It's not easy to continue distributing books or to continue even hearing and chanting. So we have to be very, as I said, very determined. Utsaha, this chiyadharya. Have to be very enthusiastic. And Prabhupada, one time he was speaking about this, and he said, even if you're not enthusiastic, just act enthusiastic, and you'll become enthusiastic. And he gave this example of the, just like sometimes you try to start a car, but I'm talking about these manual cars, where you have to pop the clutch, you get somebody to help you push the car, and then you pop the clutch, and then it goes on a little bit, and then it gets going. Right? So it's like that. In the beginning, we may not be very enthusiastic, but if we continue on, engage in devotional service, especially associating with devotees that are enthusiastic. If we associate with devotees that are very enthusiastic, that rubs off onto us, and we become very enthusiastic. Just like if you want to be very enthusiastic to distribute books, you just associate with Bhrigupati Prabhu. And you'll be very enthusiastic to distribute books. Because it's like he's still 16 years old. He's still running around. It's like unbelievable. What are you, 63 now? 63 years old. And he passes up all these other young 20-year-old kids. It's like unbelievable. So this is how we get enthusiastic. And just like Prabhupada came, and very few people were interested in serving God. And even one Christian priest went to Prabhupada and he said, "These boys that you have, they're our boys." And they had no interest in God. Now they're mad after God. Now how is this? Because of the enthusiasm, because the purity of Srila Prabhupada, they caught on to devotional service. Purity is the force. So Srila Prabhupada had this purity, had this strong desire to please his spiritual master, to please Srila Prabhupada. His Srila Prabhupada. So, and the more we associate with Prabhupada by reading these books, we'll be enthusiastic. Yeah. We'll be very enthusiastic to serve Krishna just by reading these books, because they're very powerful. One time Srila Prabhupada was in a room in Mayapur, and he was preaching to one guest. And there was a devotee in there listening, and then he got up to leave. And Prabhupada said, "Where are you going? Come, please sit. You should hear." So then after a half hour or so, the guest left, and Prabhupada said, you should hear me preach. Otherwise, how are you going to learn? How are you going to learn to preach? Are you reading my books?" And the devotee said, "Well, Prabhupada, I don't have much time. I'm doing so much service." "No, you have to read the books." "Even I read my books. Do you know why I read my books?" He said, "Because I don't write my books." And this devotee, as he was saying, he said the whole atmosphere just like turned into Vaikuntha. Just like the devotee is sitting there, he's like, "Why do you read your books, Prabhupada?" And Prabhupada said, "Because when I write my books, Krishna comes and he dictates to me what I'm writing." So these books are written by Krishna. I'm just a dictator. That's why I read my books. You ever hear of authors reading their own books? You don't hear of them. Krishna wrote these books. So we have to read these books. They're so amazing. They're so wonderful. Materialistic books, you read them once, you never read them again. But these books, you can read them over and over and over and over again, and still you get enlightenment. You get fresher enlightenment. It's like Vaisheshika Prabhu, he has this Chad program. How many is on the Chad program here? Chapter a day. Okay, we got three people. Almost. Three and a half. So I asked Vaisheshika Prabhu, "How long have you been on this Chad program?" He said, "Oh, about 40 years. Every day he reads a chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and look at the result. He's just like a ball of dynamite, you know, Krishna consciousness." I was just there in Denver. He's there right now. He just finished giving class in Denver. Such an amazing devotee. Just incredible. Look at the result. You know, he's just absorbed in Prabhupada's books. He reads 41 pages every day of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, he reads the Bhagavatam every year. Unbelievable. And he has other books that you read a certain amount of pages, then you finish that book in a certain amount of, you know, period. So look at the result of someone that's just absorbed in reading Prabhupada's books. He's just such an incredible devotee. It's just, I tell him whenever I see him and Radhana Swami together, I tell them, "If we only had 1,000 more, each of you would take over the world." Because they're just such wonderful devotees. So the more we take shelter of Prabhupada's books, the more we take shelter of the holy name, we can also become very inspiring to the other devotees and pleasing to Krishna. Yeah. So this is the result of connecting to Krishna. Nasti buddhiya yuktashani chayuktashta bhavana. If one is not connected to Krishna, one cannot have transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which one cannot have peace. And without peace, where is the question of happiness? So we have to be connected to Krishna all the time. Not that Prabhupada criticized this idea of just chanting your 16 rounds and, okay, that's enough of Krishna. He said, "No, he was chanting his japa, and then he put his beads down. He said, there. Now I could do any damn thing." He said like that. Criticizing this idea, "All right, that's enough, Krishna, now let me do what I want to do." No, the purpose of our chanting these 16 rounds is to create a momentum, so that throughout the day, we're thinking of Krishna. I'm sure all of you have had this experience, that in the daytime you're just, you know, doing some service, and then the mantra comes in your mind, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare, isn't it? We've all had that experience, isn't it? So this is the result of chanting our 16 rounds, that we'll think of Krishna and we'll want to do things that are pleasing to Krishna. On that note, is there any question or comment? Yes, Archita Prabhu.
Oh, thank you for a wonderful class, because you mentioned the word Krishna so many times. But one minor correction, just for the record, because it should be straightened out. The Mukunda Mala Stotra is not by Kadtwanga Maharaj, it's by Kulashekhar.
Now, is Kulashekhar mentioned in here?
No.
Is he the one in the purple? No. He's mentioned in here.
No, Kadtwanga. We're talking about Kadtwanga Maharaj. Right. But you said that Kadtwanga Maharaj prayed Krishna Taduya for the Pankaja, but that's Kulashekhar.
Yeah, sorry, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Yes, Sachi Tanoi Prabhu.
Hariwa Prabhu, thank you. Usually, it's a comment. Usually, you know, we glorify the devotees who go out and distribute books person to person. And just like you mentioned the example of Rana Bhushana giving a book at one time. But in my mind, these devotees like Rana Bhushana actually keeps distributing books by these Ratha Yatras that he's doing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Thousands more.
Yeah.
And it can be equally or even more glorious in a sense, you know, also. And Prabhu's like Satya Narayan, he might not be distributing book person to person, but they have the great idea of printing all these books in Asian languages. So that, you know,
so many people are getting books now in Chinese and in Korean and in Japanese. You know, so this is Prabhupada said anybody, and also in this in Farsi. Prabhupada said, anybody who distributes books to the Muslims, I take the dust from his feet. Yeah. So now we have opportunity to distribute so many books to persons that previously didn't have this opportunity. So it's a great service that Satya Narayan Prabhu is doing. Yes, he's a book distributor. Actually, Satya Narayan Prabhu, he was distributing books back in the 70s also. You would do sets, right? Srimad Bhagavatam sets in India. So, yes, and it's still going.
And in a similar way also, you know, like Charu, I remember that I even had the fortune to go out with him to the airport one time. He had a hard time to distribute books. He didn't become like a book distributor one-to-one. But through this festival that he's creating, now we go there and distribute books, thousands of books.
Yeah.
So I think we should always remember.
Yeah, so many ways books are being distributed, and it should be these great personalities should be recognized, and Krishna sees that also. Even though it's not mentioned, Krishna sees that, and they get so much benefit. Any other question or comment or reflection, as Vaisheshika Prabhu says. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.